God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Sovereign God, ruler of all hearts, you call us to obey you, and you favor us with true freedom. Keep us faithful to the ways of your Son, that leaving behind all that hinders us, we may steadfastly follow your paths through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Please be seated.
Reading from 1 Kings. Then the Lord said to Elijah, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael as king over Aram. Also, you shall anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, as king over Israel. And you shall anoint Elijah, son of Shaphat of Abel-Mehola, as prophet in your place." So he set out from there and found Elijah, son of Shaphat, who was plowing. There were 12 yoke of oxen ahead of him, and he was with the 12th. Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle over him. He left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Let me kiss my mother and my father, and then I will follow you." Then Elijah said to him, "Go back again, for what have I done to you?" He returned from following him, took the yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. Using the equipment from the oxen, he boiled their flesh and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out and followed Elijah and became his servant. Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 16 responsively. Protect me, O God, for I take refuge in you. I have said to the Lord, "You are my Lord, my good above all other." Those who run after other gods shall have their troubles multiplied. O Lord, you are my portion and my cup. It is you who uphold my lot.
My God, you close the pleasant land. Indeed, I have a rich inheritance.
I will bless the Lord who gives me counsel. My heart teaches me night after night. Heart, therefore, is glad, and my spirit rejoices. My body also shall rest in hope.
For you will
show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy, and in your right hand are pleasures forevermore.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was.
A reading from Galatians. For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I am warning you as I warned you before. Those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him, but they did not receive him, because his face was set toward Jerusalem. When his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my Father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." The Gospel of the Lord. Last Sunday evening, I was standing in a Chicago airport along with thousands of other passengers waiting out a storm. The airport was totally shut down, and no one could tell us when or even if flights would be landing or taking off anytime soon. The agents at the gate were as in the dark as others. Every screen that announced arrivals and departures after every single flight delayed, delayed, delayed. Some people were handling this quite calmly, finding a spot in a restaurant or snuggling into the only left seat. There were thousands of people. But a whole crowd of people took real good advantage of this opportunity to be delayed by gathering outside those sports bars that are in the corridor and watch the Chicago hockey team in an amazing last-minute win to win the Stanley Cup. It was very exciting. Those people didn't mind at all waiting. There were some others who were not so calm, shouting at airline people, anyone in a uniform, they were being attacked and shouting at fellow travelers, otherwise getting upset with everyone they were around them, yelling into their cell phones at whoever was so unlucky to be on the other end of that. Bottom line, not being in control did not bring out the best in people. Whether it's storm or illness or the death of a loved one or a major change in a job, all those kinds of things can unsettle our plans and take control from us. And that's upsetting. Maybe that's why we work so hard to stay in control of those, to keep control of those things that we think we are in control of. And I think that might explain some of the reactions that we hear in today's gospel as Jesus resolutely turns his face toward Jerusalem and the cross. There's three sets of reactions that I think we need to pay attention to in this gospel. First, are the Samaritans who recognize that Jesus has turned his face to Jerusalem, and they don't want to welcome him to their town. Apparently, they recognize the fact that Jesus is on a mission that they want nothing to do with. Or maybe they believe that because Jesus is going to Jerusalem, that he will have no time for them, no time to teach or to heal, no time to do whatever else they had hoped. But either way, their expectations of Jesus are not being met. And when his resolution to head to the cross doesn't fit with their plans, they reject him. And the disciples, in turn, react to this rejection in a very surprising, amazing response. They want to call down from heaven fire and burn them up. Like that would be possible? You know, hey, Jesus, do you want me to zap? You know, just eliminate? And Jesus doesn't respond very well. He rebukes them. Scripture doesn't say exactly what he said, but he rebukes them. And he says, so their reaction, though, is surprising. Why did they think they could do that? And why would they want to do that? Could be that, you know, Jews and Samaritans never did get along. And the disciples were just responding maybe in their ethnic prejudice against these people. And besides, they don't like to be thwarted in their plans. Their plan, they were sent to go ahead and make arrangements for Jesus as he makes this journey. And they weren't able to do that. So they were anyone or everyone who stood in their way, they can just go to, that kind of anger that those disciples had happens when you feel out of control. Like those people who were shouting in the airport. Like that was going to make it different. That was going to make the storm pass. That was going to make that tornado winds calm down so that planes could either land or take off. When you're not in control, anger comes out. And then there's those other people in the gospel who have made other plans. Yes, they want to follow Jesus as soon as they've done other things, bury their dead, say goodbye to their families. And who can blame them? Whenever I read this gospel, I go, those are good excuses. Jesus should have said, sure, we'll wait for you. You know, go ahead, go, you know, we'll spend an extra day here. Go and do what you need to do and then come back. They're reasonable requests. And yet Jesus says, drop all your plans and follow me. Why is he so insistent? Because what Jesus is doing makes a difference. Anyone who can't see enough, who can't see that Jesus makes a difference, can't see that enough, when they allow their hopes and their dreams, their plans, if they're not willing to let those plans be upset, they don't have what it takes to be a disciple. And I think that leads us to a good question for today. Does Jesus make a noticeable difference in your life? Or to say it another way, does grace, mercy, and the love of God made incarnate in Jesus take a priority in your plans? Does faith shape your life? Or do you shape your faith around the plans you've already made in your life? If we're honest here, I think that many of us would have to say it's the latter. We have to acknowledge that we have a deep-seated desire to be in control, to maintain some semblance of order in this rather chaotic and confusing world. And yet, Jesus, in this passage, is clearly not willing to concede. He demands that his mission must come first, before all of our plans, even those plans that seem most reasonable. Follow Jesus. There aren't any excuses or delays that are good enough. Why is that? I think it's because Jesus knows that we really aren't in control, that it's an illusion. Whether it's a rainstorm or mechanical difficulties or illness or loss or a tragedy or a hundred of other things that may dash our hopes as well as our plans and bring us to ruin. And so Jesus responds, he invites us to give over our control to him. That sounds like a really good thing to do, even a holy thing to do. But I'm not sure that that's what this gospel passage is asking us to do, to make a choice between either being in control ourselves or letting God be in control. And here's why I think that that's not what this gospel is asking us. When Jesus goes to Jerusalem to the cross, he doesn't go in order to take control or to be in charge. Rather, Jesus goes to Jerusalem to put himself fully and completely into our out-of-control lives and to show us God's great love for us, that he goes through death and is victorious over death and lives for us again. That's the promise of the gospel. Not that we will be in control, or even that God is in control, but rather that God in Christ Jesus joins us in our out-of-control lives, holds on to us, and brings us to victory with him at the end. We invest a lot of energy and a lot of time and money in trying to be in control in our daily lives and in our religious lives as well. And where has it gotten us? The world is still chaotic and sometimes even frightening. So what if the deepest call for the children of God is not to be in control, but rather to give up the illusion of control, to take some risks, to throw ourselves wholeheartedly into this wonderful, bumpy life, this world that God loves so much, trusting that God is with us in this adventure, holding on to us through all of our ups and downs, and bringing us to victory? I think that's what we call faith. And when we, like the first disciples, not always making the right decisions, sometimes looking for excuses, we can give thanks that Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem, not just with us, but also for us, taking on our sometimes messy lives, joining us in our bumpy way through life, so that we can know surely and completely that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. Not now, not ever. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Amen.